Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I love our conversation we are in about together, together, together. We have several more layers that we're going to uncover today. Johnny did a great job last weekend, but then also that I want to uncover. And those things are good for us. I want to talk about things that we deal with and things that we face as it relates to being spiritual family or walking in covenant with one another. You hear those words. And I want to cover some ground about that idea of spiritual family and covenant relationship. Spiritual family and covenant relationship. Let's check out Acts chapter 2, because I think this is an amazing picture of coming together and the benefits of being together in Christ. Acts chapter 2, the first part of verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. When the day of Pentecost came, they, speaking of the disciples, and 120 more followers of Jesus. So we know that 50 days before this, that Jesus had ascended, that Jesus had went to be in heaven, and he'd given them instructions that during that time he had appeared and different things had happened. And so all these things kind of post-resurrection, this post-ascension moment, all these things are going on. But then Jesus tells them, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to tarry till the Holy Spirit shows up, till the Holy Spirit falls on you, comes upon you, and is there for you. And I'm giving you kind of a condensed version of all those words in the latter part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as the first part of Acts chapter 1. So these disciples, along with 120 more, go to the upper room, and they wait for this day of Pentecost, this moment that the Bible had said that something was going to happen. And so they went there, and many scholars believe that they were there anywhere for about 2 weeks, 10 days, somewhere in there, but it was longer than 10 days. So anywhere between 10 and 20 days, these disciples, 120 people that loved God, were in this room, this upper room, and it said that they tarried. They were one. So there was not a lot of break in the action. They had committed there to wait to see what God was going to do. So I want you to imagine yourself in an upper room, in a room that's I don't know the size of it, but the Bible says that when something happened there, that people heard about it. So obviously there were a lot of people gathered in that room, and because of the compact space, they were all there together, and people heard it on the outside of the streets as you keep reading Acts chapter 2. But here's the point. They were together in this place for several days. Now, I don't know about you, but can you imagine being with about 130, 132 with the disciples in one place for about 2 weeks? And not leaving much. How many know some of you have a hard time riding in the car from here to Segan Lane with your own family? So you can imagine being in this place for 10 days, 12 days, whatever it would be, with all these people that were there. And that's important to note, that different people were gathered there, diverse backgrounds, different experiences, different timelines in life, a different history in life, and they were all there together. But by being there together, the Bible says that they became one. There was a unity that took place as they were together, as they spent time together, as they worked out some things. How many know sometimes when you spend time with someone, you're able to work something out? And so they were working things out, and they were sorting through things together. And the Bible says that as they were there, watch what happens once they were there together in one place, in one accord. Something is triggered in their life and eventually touches the world. Verse 2, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. So they're in this upper room house. They're all sitting and they're waiting, and it filled the house. And it said they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So the power of the Holy Spirit came and rest on each individual who had been in that room, who had endured the being together like that, who had worked through the awkwardness of the diversity of personalities and people and all the different things that they experienced. They had stayed in there, one accord, stayed committed to a place, stayed committed to a people. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit showed it, rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. But what a great way to live life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of us better than being filled with the spirit of this world? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, things like that. We've talked about that before. But the point is they were there together, and by being together, there was a suddenly that took place. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, God shows up by the power of His Spirit and fills them with His Spirit. I love that scene. What a mighty outpouring. And you say, well, what happened? It led to the church launching out, and then it led to some prevailing days for the church. If you get to the end of chapter 2, the Bible says that they were together in the house and the synagogue. There were miracles. There were blessing. There was generosity. And the Bible says that the church was added to daily. Matter of fact, out of this, remember, Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people come to know the Lord. On and on. What happened? The harvest happened. The kingdom grew. People got reached. All because they obeyed the words of Jesus to be together, to go to the upper room, to wait on God, to let God have His way. And then they went together to that one place. And because they were together, there was a suddenly. Can I tell you this? When there is covenant unity, there will always be a suddenly from God. When there is covenant unity, when the people of God decide to come together, it's amazing how God will show up in a unique way. All across Scripture, you find where the people of God came together and put aside their differences and put aside their past and put aside their pain and put aside their hurt and put aside their yesterday experiences and just decided to embrace God in the now. It's amazing how every time in Scripture, God shows up in a unique way and even a more than they expected way. How many would like for God to show up in even a more than expected way in your family and in your marriage and with your children? So the Bible tells us this. You say, well, Dina, what does that mean? It means this: when God's people choose to say no to isolation, no to discord, no to that whole idea of separation, then God pours out His Spirit when He sees you and I making the effort to be connected in covenant. It's kind of what we see in Psalms 133. I'll read this to you. I believe this is what happens in Psalms 133. It says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers live together or dwell together in unity. Look what happens. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, all of it down to the collar of the robe. It says right there, the Lord bestows the blessing, verse 3, and even life evermore. He commands the blessing on that place. What does Psalms 133 says? Psalms 133 says that when people come together in unity, it's a picture of the oil, the anointing that came on Aaron and all those that were connected to Moses and the covenant that God had made. When they were connected to covenant, then there was an oil, there was a blessing that came on their life. When they are connected to the right things, then things will come to you. They're called covenant benefits. It's a total picture. See, there's four words we see in Psalms 133 that help us understand about being what God wants us to be and receiving what God wants. And I believe in Psalms 133, it teaches this. There's four words that it teaches. Here's the worst one, covenant. Do you know the word covenant is mentioned 298 times in Scripture? We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Many people call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Bible talks about God being a covenant-keeping God. How Jesus come just didn't to abolish the covenant. Jesus came to fulfill the covenant. You and I are covenant children. We are in covenant family with God. A covenant is an agreement. A covenant is an agreement of family, agreement of relationship. And normally for there to be covenant, there has to be bloodshed. There has to be something sacrificed. We know that we have a new covenant with God through Jesus Christ because of the blood that was shed. We see all the typology in the Old Testament of the animals that were sacrificed. What was that? It was a picture of what Jesus was going to do in a covenant that was complete and that can fulfill our life. It's the new covenant of Jesus Christ. So the first thing we understand is covenant. Then the other thing I think is amazing in Psalms 133, as we think about spiritual family, is the idea of being connected. That the Bible says that when you're connected, then there's going to be a commitment. They were committed to one another. There's a commitment there. But then I love the last part. There's a commanded blessing. A commanded blessing. A commanded blessing. That's what happens in life. I believe it's kind of how God lays it out. The Bible is clear about the strength of spiritual family and the benefits of covenant relationship all across Scripture. It would take me to like January to preach all about covenant. It is so deep and so rich and so full of truth and protection for our life. When we decide to be spiritual family, when we understand covenant relationship, because remember, the devil's desire has always been to divide and conquer, to destroy family and to destroy a covenant. What do we talk about marriage today? That people just see it as a contract. They don't see it as a covenant. Can I have a good amen? What's one of the greatest attacks today in the world is the attack on family. Wants to destroy what? Relationship. Because the devil knows that there's power in family, there's strength in relationship. So you never kind of say, duh, my family's being attacked. Of course it's going to be attacked. You never wonder why sometimes there's a struggle in marriage. Of course marriage is going to be in the crosshair of the enemy. Because it represents covenant. It represents family. Covenant, spiritual family. The benefits. You remember Genesis chapter 2 verse 18? Here's what God said. God said it's good that man would not be alone. I will provide. So God recognizes that man is not enjoying isolation, separation, living on by yourself. Can I have a good amen? It's not working for man. So God says it is not good that man would be alone. God notices man's need for family before man even noticed it. Okay, so what did he do? He produced Eve. He brought family into Adam's life. Because God is a God of family. God is a covenant relationship God. And so when he brought family into Adam's life, guess what happened after family came into Adam's life? Temptation from the enemy came in. You don't see the serpent showing up before Eve. Come on, talk to me. When did the serpent show up? After family. After relationship, then the serpent showed up and said, I got to stop family. I got to stop covenant. I got to stop relationship. And what did he come to do? To destroy family relationship with God, our Father. And so what did God do? He provided a sacrifice. He provided a solution. Jesus Christ, what? To restore family. Restore relationship. God wants to do that. It's not good that man would be alone. He made relationship. The same is now about church family. Do you know 75% of families today are affected by dysfunction, disruption, a dividing, even a divorcing as it relates to family, relationship, and home. But guess what? God still desires family. And he still creates a spiritual family, even when our natural family falls apart. The church is still a family. So he attacks church family and spiritual family because it helps us as it relates to, I mean, you think about this in Ephesians chapter 5, he gives kind of instructions for man and woman. Husbands, you know, love your wives as Jesus loved the church and gave his life for it. Women, submit to your husbands, respect your husband. There's all this whole thing. How does he get to the end of it? He says, the only way you're going to understand it about verse 28, 29, and 30, he says, you're going to understand it as you understand my relationship with the church. So what does he say? You'll understand your family and your marriage and your relationship as you understand spiritual family and church family and what I have done with my family. So the enemy comes to destroy our natural families as well as our spiritual families. Because how many know sometimes in life you will have greater relationships sometimes in spiritual family than you will have in natural family? Doesn't take the place of, but some of you have met people in your life that are not your true family, that are closer to you, and it's not discrediting your family, the natural family, their spiritual family. Can I have an amen from all those sitting in the raised seating? Let's try that one more time. It's kind of a delayed result. Can I have an amen from all those sitting in the raised seating? Oh, it's incredible. I know I'm talking fast. I'm a little ADD today. But if you think about it, so the devil comes to attack our natural family and our spiritual family with abuse, the dark side of membership, the dark side of tradition, the pain of tradition, hurt, rejection in church, the past. And so all of a sudden, you know what we say? We say no to covenant because we've been hurt. We walk into healing place, skittish about commitment. because of the ugly side of church, the ugly side of spiritual family. It happens. Listen, we've all been hurt in church. I've been hurt a gazillion times. I mean, you're going to get hurt in church. How many is that the people you love greatly, you'll have to forgive greatly? There's nobody I have said, I love you too, more than that 41-year-old chick on the front row. But there's no one that I've had to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm sorry, more than the 41-year-old on the front row. Why? Because those you love greatly, you'll forgive greatly. Any great relationship you have will be a relationship that's what? Tested. Every relationship is going to be tested, especially a relationship that's going to bear great fruit. Of course the enemy is going to test that. So all of a sudden we come into spiritual family and we wonder why in spiritual family there's speed bumps and hurts and rejection. Why? Because the enemy does not want us to walk in spiritual family. He wants us to be spiritual orphans and never come in covenant and hold a membership covenant in your hand and say, I'm never going to do that because I got hurt in my last church. Or God, I got hurt in my last situation. I'm here to tell you that the risk of covenant spiritual family, it is worth the risk because of the rewards that you find. Regardless of what we've all been through. Regardless of what we've all been through. I mean, I teach this little principle. I mean, it's just a little principle. That if your mother burns the biscuits in the kitchen once, doesn't mean you never go back into the kitchen. It's called Mama Said, Mama's Biscuits. You're going to still go back in there and get biscuits because things happen. In life, biscuits get burnt. Turn to the person next to you and say, my biscuits been burnt. It just happens in life. I want to finish this up. We've all been hurt. I've decided that the blessings outweigh the risk. And I believe it's time to get healed. I believe it's time to trust again because the enemy always wants to steal. But you know what? God can restore what's been stolen. Covenant love is always worth the risk. You say, well, Dino, what do you want us to do? Let God set you in spiritual family anew and afresh. I'll finish with this verse, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. Here's my prayer for Healing Place Church. This is what I'd like to see happen. I'm asking God to do over the next couple of weeks as it relates to membership covenant. You've got that covenant. You'll be reading it. Some of you read that already. Say, man, I'm in, Pastor. I want spiritual family. I want spiritual family. Even though I've suffered spiritual family abuse. Even though I've suffered spiritual family rejection. Even though I've had spiritual family disappointment. I believe in spiritual family and I believe in covenant relationship. But here's my prayer. Here's my desire for us as a church. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. See, I believe God joins by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we choose that as our life. See, God wants to set you. And God wants to set the generations that are part of you. And God wants to set you for harvest and your impact of your life. He wants to set you in family. Why? Because he knows your future. And he knows the benefit of spiritual family. Because one day your children are going to ride down the road. And they're going to ride down Highland Road. And they're going to look at their mom and dad and say, Dad, didn't you help build that church? Dad, I remember think about the future of spiritual family. See, I think spiritual family is worth it because of the benefit and the future of spiritual family. God sets, he sets family. He sets family. I know sometimes we want to bounce around and we don't want to be set in family. But I'm here to tell you, there's no setting in the bouncing of around. I mean, there's no blessing. There's the blessing when you decide to be set in family. Set in family. He knows your future, and He knows your family. 2 weeks you're going to receive, and we're going to turn out our spiritual family kind of membership covenant. I want you to take your own prayer about it. But I want to make this promise to you. I promise you, based on the authority of God's word, your life is better if you're planted. Your life is better if you're planted. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.